Today I'm going to take some time. I'm visiting with Representative Chad Bain. Chad, thanks for taking time to visit with us. I appreciate it. Hey, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, there we go. I appreciate you having me. And as we go along here, stuff gets more and more serious and changes in the way it proceeds down there. So we've got something to talk about every week.
Yeah, I think right now, of course, this was the second funnel this week. Most things they traditionally say, if they don't make it, because you're working on things from the Senate, trying to get those things moved out in the House, and the House material has to come out of the Senate. A lot of times they say they're dead if they don't make it out of this. Not necessarily the case. They could get pushed to study. They could get brought back up again through leadership. And there are some things that are still, but most of the big things, money. Money, that's the big things. You got your budget yet to do. And for the House, probably property tax. I think they've been, we talked a little bit about that last time. There's a lot on that.
Yeah, and it kind of worries me, again, back to that supervisor backdrop and the unintended consequences of what we do down there. We do, there's always those positions where you take local officials and they're like, hey, you know, you guys have provided or put some pressure on. Right now we've got a property tax bill coming through that would make childcare, like Childcare Junction here in Boone. Mm-hmm. It would change it from commercial to residential. So, and I'm going to make complete figures up here. Let's say they're taxed at $40,000 and residentially they'd be taxed at $10,000 a year. Well, that's cutting into some levies and that's reducing the amount of money that the taxing authorities are going to receive from Childcare Junction here in Boone. And so we do stuff down at the state that changes some of their ability to collect money. And so I'm always sensitive to that. Every time we're in those meetings, I make sure and remind everyone coming from the supervisor background that, hey, we got to be careful when we change all this stuff, the fiscal implications to the taxing authorities at the local level. So we do stuff that has impact on that. But by and large, this property tax bill that's coming will kind of fundamentally change some stuff. And so we're still in the feedback, you know, the pluses and minuses of things. And there's still some questions in some of this stuff. So we'll have to get through it. And we'll have to receive feedback from the local authorities.
Well, now that we've got the new valuations came out, and every odd-numbered year, that's when your local assessor sends those out. And I know people want to blame somebody, but bottom line is, it's what houses were selling for. It's all math. But you guys, obviously, they get a hold of you guys right away. This is crazy. This is outrageous.
Well, every time, the example I always give, every time that we've ever tried to list a property, a personal property of mine, I'll think my house is worth $200,000. I'll get all excited. I'll say, hey, let's put this thing up for $200,000. If we can get $200,000, I'd be excited. I call the realtor and they think, hey, let's put this up for $240,000. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, the market's hot right now. It's going good. I think we can get $240,000 out of it. We put it up and 5 minutes later, you know, it sells. And so some of this stuff, because of housing and the prices that they're being sold for, the assessor's job is to find market value, plus or minus 5%, so we don't get equalized. And so in that process, his requirement is to kind of find market value. Now, people always argue that market value, what they can and can't get it for, and some people's assessments are under market value and some are over, and so you've got the opportunity to go in there and kind of get those straightened out.
You got that appeal process, don't you?
Yeah, and that's a tough, I don't blame the assessors, I don't blame the homeowners for being torqued like, hey, there's no way my house is worth $300,000, like, there's no way I could sell it for that, and they could be right, there's a process to that, but a lot of times I've found that the market's higher than what you think it really is. And so I've seen sales realtors through what they actually get sold for, and you're sitting here like, wow, that's higher than what I thought it'd be, and that's just kind of the way of the real estate. And the reminder to everybody on that is that your assessed value, of course, has something to do with the property taxes you pay, but you know, a single home, residential home in Boone could have up to 7 or 8 taxing authorities on top of it.
Yep.
And it's a good time to find out who's actually raising your taxes. So if your assessment goes up, it doesn't necessarily mean your property tax. You'll have to pay more in property taxes. And learning that and understanding that, before I was a supervisor, I had no clue. And then through the supervisor process and the auditor nicely explaining it to me and the assessor nicely explaining it to me, you start to find out that it's not super complicated, but it's different than what you think it is. And so you've got to find out which taxing authority is actually the ones raising the money on your property. And so you got to find out whether it's the big three would be county, city, and schools.
Yep.
Those probably have the most impact.
Yep.
The hospitals in there, DMACs in there. And so there are other layers in there, but you got to kind of find out, hey, the easiest thing I do is kind of go look to find out where they are rated across the state. Are they in the higher end of the state? Or are they in the lower end of the state? And there's some caveats to that, but you got to find out who's the one that's actually raising your taxes, because they take that assessment times a multiplier and then come up with what they're asking. And so that multiplier can be changed. If your assessment goes up 30%, there are other caps to that process. But if it goes up 30%, they lower the multiplier. You could actually pay less than you did the year before.
So these are some of the things, you know, when you're talking about that, and when we started, we were talking about, you know, the property tax reform that's being worked on the House. It is complicated. It's not easy. If something happens with the right hand, something on the left side might get changed or might have an impact. Those are some tough choices.
Correct. And to boot, a lot of the taxing authorities, and I'll throw myself under the bus on this, don't fully understand it either. And so some of that rollback stuff, I'm not 100% familiar on. Some of the limitations in the rollbacks, how those rollbacks work precisely, property over property, commercial versus residential, and then some of the tax credits, the homestead tax credit. So there are extreme layers to it, and you've got to go through all those and try and figure out where you are. And at the end, you kind of get frustrated, and I've been there and been frustrated and not known that. So when we're going to go in and do a property tax reform bill, you'd like to think that we all understand this perfectly, top to bottom, and we don't. And so I'm learning. I'm on continuing ed right now, trying to figure out exactly what we're doing and then the implications for what we do. Well, there's a formula or proposed formula for property tax growth, and it's pretty vague. Local governments must follow a fixed formula to determine allowable levy increases. Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly what that means. Yeah. So I've got to track down what is that formula, what exactly are we going to do, and what are the bottom line of what's going to happen when we do it. So there's a lot there.
Boy, you thought you were done with school.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought I knew what I was doing coming from the supervisor field, and then I started, and I'm like, whoops, I still got some stuff to learn.
Well, one of the things that did pass out, the governor did sign, hands-free it doesn't look like enforcement is actually going to be really starting until the beginning of 26, but it looks like there's going to probably be, starting the 1st of July, some warnings going out for people that might be driving and talking on the phone if they're not doing it hands-free.
Yep, that hands-free bill was tricky. The moving violation, I want to caution everyone on the moving violation part. If you're a 16-year-old driver, you've got your intermediary license, and if you get pulled over and get a ticket, it's considered a moving violation. The old law was not a moving violation. It will turn into a moving violation, and that was my hang-up with it. That moving violation becomes a couple of things. I think insurance companies are going crazy right now, and I'm not happy with the raise of insurance. So you take anyone, no matter the background, everyone knows that insurance is going up, and that they'll look at you funny and raise it, or if you get a ticket, they'll raise it. So this is a moving violation, was a concern. And then if you're 16, just a reminder that you get a moving violation, you can lose your license till you're 17. So if you're texting and driving, just make sure that you're prepared to not be able to drive. And who are you punishing when you take a license away from a 16-year-old? You're as much punishing the parents for that. But I thought the moving violation part of that was a kind of an overcharge. So just beware that that's considered a moving violation, and your insurance is going to go up if you get caught doing it. And If you're 16, you might lose your license till you're 17. So okay. Know that this is going to be a serious charge if you get it.
Okay. Quickly, just wanted to ask you if it comes to mind any highlighted things that you had that you moved out of any of your committees this week. Something that you...
Well, the Bayer lawsuit bill is going to be a big one, and it's going to be an emotional one, and it's going to be tough. I'm still undecided on it. I'm trying to pin down exactly what it is and what it means. So you've got people on either side of it. And if it's truly just a labeling bill, I have in mind to not allow them to be sued for the label that's put on their product. If it's wider than that and doesn't allow them to be sued at all, I'm not going to be for it. I do believe that you should be able to sue Bayer. What I don't want is something where glyphosate gets run out of the farming community and gets replaced with more dangerous chemicals. That's the warning against glyphosate that I always talk about as a farmer. Out of all the chemicals we use, that is the safest chemical we use, according to the EPA. So, if you're going to come in and knock glyphosate out of our choices, every other choice after that, the EPA considers more dangerous and has different restrictions, more aggressive restrictions on the use of it. So. We got to be careful what we're actually doing and kind of the optics on this thing. So Europe just extended glyphosate for another 10 years, and they're kind of the guard to what is okay and what is not as far as our food goes. Everyone has their stories that they come back from Europe and feel better. So we've heightened Europe as kind of the standard for food and application of chemicals and whatever else goes into that process. So they extended it for 10 years, and then the EPA, if we follow the EPA and we use them as our guide, you're kind of all over the place. The EPA says it's non-carcinogenic and that it doesn't cause cancer. And so I don't know who to believe. I hate to see, you know, in farming, we've got Roundup Ready beans, Roundup Ready corn.
Yeah.
This would impact the farming industry huge if glyphosate, if Bayer was going to get sued to the point where glyphosate was not offered to the farmer or produced in the United States. You've got some weird implications behind that. So we're looking at that. I'm trying to, I'll be honest, it's rough to find valid information on that one because one minute you talk to one lawyer and they say it's this way, and the next minute you talk to another lawyer and they say it's this way. So I'm trying to do my due diligence as a farmer to try and understand exactly what implications this has and how this is going to manifest itself. And you don't want to be, hey, you can't sue someone or Bear.
Yeah.
We're not protecting big corporations, or we're not doing those key things, or we're not allowing people to get cancer, or the emotional stories behind the people that have linked or believe that because they use Roundup, they got cancer. You've got some layering there. You kind of need to need to figure out before we go forward with this thing. So I'll be curious. That'll be something we work on the next couple of weeks, and I'll be looking for input on that too, on people's thought process. Sure. I've had a lot of conversation with people on that.
Okay. Looking ahead, you start next week, going back to a lot of committee work again, or?
No, I think now it becomes more floor debate. You've got ways and means on the backside. So some of these bills that came through or made it through final week, just like you said, there'll be some that will still find it to the floor. So we'll still have to do some subs. But by and large, now we're going to be more in the debate side of things. And then ways and means assesses if there needs to be an assessment to it or money changes hands, then it'll go through ways and means, which has been a unique committee to be on because I didn't view it what it was. I thought it was more taxation and some different stuff. And it's created a weird spot because a lot of the bills that we would go in and caucus on and you'd get caught up on and kind of understand better. Now, these bills have not gone through caucus and I'm unfamiliar with some of the other committees. And so we're getting hit with this. And so you need to decide whether this bill's good or bad. And then the fiscal note associated with this bill. And so I went right back to the drawing board on trying to figure out exactly what some of these bills are that I'd heard nothing about. So we're back to learning on that and finding those out, along with what the fiscal impact will be
through the Ways and Means Committee.
All righty. Hey, I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us, getting us up to date on what's going on. I think they're planning here in April another one of those forums over at the library. So I think that'll be coming up here in a couple of weeks. So look forward to a good turnout for that.
Yep, I think that's April 14th, and I hope that is geared towards some property tax input discussion, so that we can take something back to the state and kind of get local officials. So I would encourage any local officials or any taxing authority, and I'm reaching out to those people now, but I'm hoping we get some good input to take back down to the state on that.
I appreciate you taking time visiting with us. I'll talk to you again next time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jim.